You're listening to Radio EcoShock with your host, Alex Smith.
Our guest is Professor Florian Siegert from the GeoBio Center of the Ludwig Maximilians University in Munich. His research specializes in the use of satellite sensors to monitor changes on the ground, especially in tropical and subtropical forests. Currently, he is funded by the European Commission for a project called Red Flame. There's two D's in that red, and it's Fast Logging Assessment and Monitoring Environment, a tool to detect logging and fire damage. Dr. Siegert, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Yeah, hello.
Before we discuss the specifics of Indonesia, how would you describe your work to an ordinary person?
We use satellites to monitor the Earth's surface and how humans impact forests and other types of vegetation. So we monitor changes of the Earth's surface.
How is that possible? How can you do that?
So in the past 20 years, maybe around 100 satellites have been launched by various countries, and we use maybe 10 or 15 of them. So satellites which make photographs of the Earth's surface, let's say every month or every week, and also radar satellites. Radar is a specific wavelength which penetrates clouds, so we can get weather-independent pictures and images from the Earth's surface.
Well, I'm calling you today, Professor Siegert, because Indonesia really came into world climate consciousness due to major fires that started in 1997 and they continued into 1998. It was difficult to miss. Choking smoke blew over Malaysia, Singapore, much of Southeast Asia. And my first question is, do you think that smoke would have had at first a bit of a cooling effect like the Asian brown cloud discovered by Professor V. Ramanathan at the Scripps Institute?
So I'm not a climate specialist, but what I know from reading, from the literature, true, it had a very small cooling effect.
All right, but really what we were interested in is the heating. What can you tell us about the climate impact of that major Indonesian forest fire?
Yeah, so we were doing work in Indonesia the years before, ecological work, and at that time then, in 1997, huge fires occurred in Indonesia, and we started to investigate how could this happen and also the extent of these fires. So we started in 1998 some remote sensing work using, as I said, radar satellites and optical satellites to map the burned area and also the type of vegetation which has been burned. And at that time we could show that the major contribution to carbon dioxide emissions came from peat fires. So peat is like a swamp ecosystem. It's a huge pile of biomass, which is not decomposed because it's waterlogged. And at that time, the government of Indonesia started to dig irrigation canals into these peat swamp forests. And when the El Nino weather condition came in 1997, all these peats were drained severely through these canals, and then the fires, which were ignited by, let's say, farmers or people who wanted to clear land for plantations, they came out of control and burned huge areas of land, and especially peatland.
And what would that have done for carbon emissions?
So, yeah, at that time we published, and so in 2001 we published a paper showing how much carbon dioxide has been released by this single event. And it was very, very significant. It was 15% of the total emissions of all human activity at that year. Mm-hmm. So only from peat fires in Indonesia, not all the forest fires. There were much more fires in 1997 in Amazonia and other parts of the world due to the extended drought, but from the peat fires alone, so Indonesia contributed in 1997 15% of the total emissions by burning fossil fuels and whatever, gas, everything.
That is an amazing number. As you know, 1998 was declared the hottest year on record, at least until 2010.
Yeah.
Is it possible that the forest and peat fires created a burst of carbon that helped to make that year hotter? I know there were other problems like El Nino, but could this have contributed to a hotter year?
Probably. So at least the carbon dioxide measurements at the Mauna Loa in Hawaii show a doubling of the carbon dioxide emissions in that specific year, in 1997. So you have every year you have an increase in carbon dioxide, but in that year we had a doubling of the increase. So it was measured directly, the carbon dioxide concentration.
And I realize, again, you're not a climate scientist, but my question is there a lag time between when carbon or even methane goes up into the atmosphere and we feel a heating, or does it happen more or less right away?
I don't know. I would guess if you measure higher carbon dioxide concentrations in the atmosphere, then you have more heat trapped in the atmosphere as soon as you measure it. But there are complex processes. Yeah? The oceans absorb carbon dioxide, vegetation is growing, and so on. So nobody can measure all these processes, but they are models for that. But I guess that once, if you measure the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, you have the heating.
It makes sense. Well, once again, right now, in early September 2011, smoke from fires on the island of Sumatra has reached Malaysia and Singapore, and Singapore's talking about sending firefighters, and Indonesia is talking about seeding the clouds to make rain. What do you know about what is going on there?
Well, we have right now several people working there, doing studies, measurements of biomass, of peat depths, and so on. And we also do LIDAR flights. So with airplanes, we fly a LIDAR instrument to measure the carbon stock in trees, in forests, and to really get better figures about the dimension and the role of these Indonesian fires. So they are almost every year, but in El Nino years, they are much stronger. More fires, more haze, and so on. And this year, 2011, is the first year after two La Nina years, which were very wet in Indonesia, and it was hard to start a fire for land clearing. So people have now a lot to do because they couldn't do it the past 2 years. So that's why we have many fires in 2011 again.
So these fires are directly related to logging and land clearing. They're caused by humans?
Yes, of course. So I haven't read anything about fire by lightning, so nobody has written on that, and I never observed it. So usually in the very wet tropics, like in Indonesia, lightning comes with water, with rain. And so to our experience, and this is now more than 15 years, almost 100% of the fires are started by humans. On the one hand, small-scale farmers, they clear land, maybe 1 to 5 hectares for their personal production. But more important are the fires from investors and plantation companies like oil palm and so on, who use fire to clear the land for the establishment of the plantation.
So with your satellite research tools, can you see the conversion of tropical forests to, say, palm oil plantations? And if so, what have you found?
Yes, so we monitor some regions in Indonesia regularly. And we see, of course, the expansion of the palm oil business, especially with the biofuel hype. So this really accelerated again, the palm oil expansion in the past 2 years.
It's an odd spin-off, really, from green thinking. In fact, I heard that some of the palm oil was going to Holland to offset other types of fuel. This is a biofuel, so...
Yeah, it's crazy.
It isn't that green if it causes more climate change.
Yeah, so we really could show that if palm oil is established on peat, you release 5 to 10 times more carbon dioxide than you save by establishing the oil palm and using the oil palm for 25 years period. So you release 5 times or up to 10 times more. And you must know that most plantations are now established in peatlands because these are the only uninhabited land in Indonesia. Yeah? Indonesia has 240 million inhabitants. And so all the good soils are settled by people. and peat soils are poor soils. They are still forest covered, and this is the place where the new plantation become established.
Well, that's sort of expanding humanity. The other thing that confuses me about peat is usually when I think of that, it's Ireland or in Scandinavia or Canada. Why are we talking about peat in Indonesia, and how much of it is there?
It's absolutely significant. So Indonesia has 70% of all tropical peatlands. But probably there are much more peatlands in Amazonia and Africa not yet discovered and characterized. So Indonesia has 70%, and the boreal, so peat in boreal in colder regions, is from the area the much bigger in size, but the volume, so the peat is much thicker in Indonesia, up to 15 meters thick, a pile of 15 meters of biomass. So it's an absolutely significant portion of the total peat on Earth is located in Indonesia.
And once peat starts burning, it's very, very difficult to put it out.
Almost impossible, because no water is available. You would need helicopters and so on, and this equipment is not available in Indonesia. So, and it's also too expensive.
And then we're also losing some biomass and some carbon into the air from just logging tropical rainforests in Indonesia. Do you know how much Indonesian forest is being lost? Can we compare it to the Amazon?
Very difficult, because there are no nationwide satellite monitoring systems working. So we work only on smaller areas, let's say hotspots. But nobody has a figure for the whole country except FAO. And FAO has done the last, but they do it using country statistics and so on, so not really remote sensing, and if so, only with a sampling scheme. So nobody has a real figure, but at least in Indonesia and Southeast Asia, there are the highest rates of deforestation, higher than in Amazonia and Africa.
Why is the European Union monitoring forest destruction on the other side of the world?
Yeah, I think so. Timber, so Europe is still buying a lot of timber from tropical countries, and there's concern about that we should stop that to protect these forests because of their role in climate change, so carbon storage and so on. And so I think the EU is financing research to find out more about the dimension of logging and so on.
And looking at what we could be doing about this forest damage in order to prevent climate change in a country like Indonesia, are there people working on policies? Do you have ideas on what we could do to slow this down at least?
Yes, so currently in the World Climate Negotiations, there's a scheme called REDD, Reduced Emissions by Avoided Deforestation in Developing Countries. So this is a financing scheme where rich countries pay poor countries to preserve their forests.
And it seems to me, as we wrap up, that we're not necessarily talking about big evil corporations here. Where you're talking also about small people just clearing the land in order to live. Is that the case?
No, I would say the dimension. So more fires are ignited by farmers, but the severe fires, or the fires with large-scale impact, are started by companies. So I would say much more destruction is done by companies and investors than by small farmers.
Well, thank you so much. We have been speaking with Professor Florian Siegert. He's from the GeoBio Center of the Ludwig Maximilians University in Munich. Dr. Siegert specializes in satellite monitoring of land changes in tropical and subtropical countries. Professor, thank you so much for sharing your valuable time with us.
Thank you.
I am Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.